Death Watch.
Welcome to the Nameless Horror, Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition Investigation by Death Watch Productions. Our investigators are in the small eastern Pennsylvania town of Stowell, each for their own reasons, and that's where we will rejoin them. But first, we'll introduce our investigators, starting with Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm playing Oscar Herman, a World War II vet and FBI hopeful currently undercover, attempting to gain entry into a organization known as the Wipers Pals, and that has led me to Stowell, in which apparently I am probably partially responsible for it currently burning down.
I'm Travis. I'm playing Rob Rumble Wolf, and you know, I just accidentally killed two people trying to sort through that. You know, I spent most of my life breaking things and hurting people. And I'm trying to think, you know, maybe that's what God made me for. Because here I am trying to do the right thing, and I killed two people. But I don't know. What do you think about that, Keeper? And what God put me on this earth for?
You'll see.
Maybe it's a kind of vanity that I thought I could help people that in that kind of way. I don't know, but I'll pass it over to the next investigator.
I'm John, playing Tony Ray Spates, as I stand alone in the middle of this field thinking about what I've done. I think maybe I should have just stayed in Boston.
Do you feel my sights on the back of your head?
Well, I wasn't expecting the town to
burn.
Get fired up like that, but I'm glad to have someone with eyes on at least.
All right. I'm going to shoot Tony in the back of the head.
Okay. So you at the end of the, in the last session there towards the end, you were, Oscar was waiting on top of the cliff with the rifle, setting a trap for Deputy Alexander. But while you were waiting, suddenly, you know, a home here and a home there just went up in flames. You started to hear gunshots from multiple directions. And then, you know, at the very end of the session, you'd heard a scream and saw a woman in a nightgown running on the corner there, and she fell down, and then a man started hacking into her head with a hatchet, and that was where the session ended there. So you still find yourself in the recreation ground, and over far to the east, it's starting to brighten a little bit as the sun starts to make its climb. But Deputy Alexander still has not shown up.
Well, I think maybe this is his way of saying that he's not coming.
Well,
who had the that communication device?
You had it last, right? You were talking.
I believe
into
so.
It?
Yeah. Okay. So is
it was
there
in the trunk of the car?
Has there been any other communication on that?
No.
I wonder how they worked if they're just like two-way radios. Because so far we've only ever heard Alexander talking into this one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because before when we were just eavesdropping, or I guess I was, you guys were in the house, he was trying to get a hold of Spencer.
Right, yeah.
Is that the guy's name?
Jensen.
Jensen, there we go. Yeah. and then the communication you've made right now. And I think he tried to talk into it one time and we froze while we were laying low in the house. So it's not like a radio band, maybe?
Yeah.
Band radio? Is that what they call it? I don't know, Mr. Spates. I'm just a boxer. Like, who are you really talking to right now?
Well, myself, partially. Yeah, you know, I'll wait, I don't know, get maybe another 5 minutes or so after that, after seeing that, try to... Where does that guy go after he does this? Does he start coming towards us, or...
No, after he hacks into her head for a good long while, he looks up at the sky and he screams... The eye is closed, and then he runs back the way he came.
Well, obviously they've enacted some plan. I'll head over to Rob and say that I think my plan failed. I don't think he's coming, but we either hunt him or we leave. And those are the two choices that I see. But I think we should get up to Oscar.
Yeah, he just said palaver. He just said to flash that electric torch of yours if it wasn't gonna happen. And he'll come down and then we can see what's going on. But yeah, I think I'm inclined to cut our losses here. I don't know what else to do from this point.
Okay. So yeah, I'll flash that twice and then we'll tell Rob we should move a little ways off just in case while we wait for him and hunker down.
So from your perspective, we waited a total of 30 seconds and we're like, he's not coming. Come on.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was longer than that.
No, it was. It was
okay.
It's funny to think of it in real time.
So am I seeing anything other than some burning houses moving down there? Or?
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, that's all you're seeing.
Okay.
Is some burning houses. It does seem to you like, even though it's starting to get light now, so it's harder to tell, but it seems like a lot of porch lights started coming on all over town.
And now they're flicking the light at me, telling me that it ain't happening, or at least the deputy ain't.
Yeah.
Any cop cars out in any of that? Any sirens?
Not that you see or hear.
All right. Man. Yeah, if I don't see anything coming this way, no car lights or anything like that, I'll hop on or I'll climb down.
Okay.
Well, looks like that was a failure.
Yeah, it's not been our night, or at least not my night anyways.
based on how many fires I'm seeing, I don't think it's much of anybody's night.
You think we set some sort of plan in motion with the damage we've done today?
Probably.
Or yesterday?
I'd definitely say that. Whole lot of porch lights came on too, so word's probably getting round.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. Like they keep talking about this eye in the sky. Yeah, I thought that it was just some make believe or mystical, you know, thing that they were worshiping. But what if they can, or at least you know, a few of them can actually see through this, whatever it is.
Well, I don't know too much about that, but they definitely have some way of communicating. They've never in the past hesitated to just send assassins after us, and mysteriously the whole roadway would be empty at the time. If our names are on the lips of this town, and there are a lot of them that are coming our way, I think we might have a problem. That said, we could always just try a house at random, see if maybe there's some answers there, or get out of town.
I almost think it's... I mean, we put a stop to how they were able to change him for right now and, you know, some of their funding at least for a little bit until they find somebody else to dig a way out of that or find a way to dig that gold out as it is right now. And this was kind of a last chance thing, I think, for me. And I'm pretty beat up, pretty cut up. And I think I need to recover a little before going much deeper into this. You know, if that's even the right move, as I would vote for that we cut loose.
Cut our losses. What about you, Robbie?
Well, I feel like I'm boxing against somebody in the dark here. I can't make out an outline. Can't sketch out what exactly is going on. Did I hear the fella say the eye was closed?
Yeah.
Since I was down there? But that axe murdering guy that just came by... that I feel guilt over the fact that I'm not that fazed by it. Anyhow, he said something about the eye being closed, and that's the first time I heard that. So maybe we did something, or maybe something just happened to change it up.
Sometimes doing enough is all you can do.
But I guess what I'm getting at in a long kind of way is that I don't really know what the hell to do next. So maybe nothing's better than something. But Mr. Herman, if you want to see what's going on, I can't say there's some part of me that's not curious as well.
Problem with trying a random house is it could have just been them waking up due to screams and gunshots.
Yeah, I imagine that's pretty rare in a town like this normally.
Yeah, I'd say so. But a part of me still wonders. But also, Tony's right. He is pretty banged up. Did our hideout go up in flames, or is it still good? At least best guess based on location.
Yeah, you didn't see any fire in that direction.
I don't think we were seeing the burning houses though on the bottom. That would be news to us.
Yeah.
If you mentioned it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A whole lot of houses did go up.
Yeah. So the whole time you're talking, you are hearing gunshots from all different sections of the town.
It seems so like you guys are standing rid of opposition
in the recreation ground there, you know, not too far from the edge of it. So, you know, probably about just 100 feet away from the street that the boarding house and Marion and Rosemary Ellis's house is on. So you're hearing gunshots from all over town. But then you start seeing a little further down that street, people start coming out. There's two that you can see, two men. They come out, they're neighbors apparently. They come out of their house. One is just like in his nightgown, and he's just like looking around. But the other one's like ready to go, and he's got a shotgun. And he's like dressed and he's screaming. He's not really saying anything intelligible, but he sees his neighbor and just starts shooting right away.
Well, there's some answers right there.
So we got some crazy people and some nuts.
So after he guns his neighbor down, then he just continues walking down that street. He's got like a bag, like a duffel bag, and he just reloads as he goes, and he's shooting at all the houses on his way down towards the south.
Well, this, you know, I'm real concerned about Mrs. Ellis and her daughter right now. What if we go pick them up and think about what we want to do next on the ride there? And if we got something else you want to do, Mr. Herman, you and I can take care of it. And Mr. Spates can drive out of town with the women folk.
All right. Sounds like a plan, Robbie.
That work for you, Mr. Spates?
Yeah. And I hate to leave... Hate to leave you guys after everything we've been through here, but I don't know how much more help I'm going to be in this.
It's not a problem at all, Tony. Based on how this is going, I think it's probably best you just get out of here when you can. I doubt anyone's going to believe any story that comes out of this wackadoo town. So keep your name and your nose clean.
Yeah, I definitely don't have any intention of you know, spreading word. I mean, I can take them to the same place as that restauranteur or restaurant manager's wife, but I honestly don't know how sane she is at the moment either. What would be a place that's a like a day or two away here, Brandon? That's well, not like a super small town. Has anybody got a map?
I think if you're in the northeast here, then everything is within a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it goes somewhere that's a little bit bigger, right? And I just yeah, tell Robbie that you know, I'll put him up at you know, a church, and let him know that they can either wait for you there, but I want to at least give you a name of a town.
Well, probably the nearest like good sized town. Like you're almost the same distance away from. No, yeah, probably the closest good-sized town is Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice. Hmm. Anyway, whatever we do further from this, we should probably be discussing in the ride to pick up Miriam?
Yeah, Marion.
Miriam.
Yeah, that's probably smart. I am feeling like a target out here.
Yeah, get out of the field here.
I'll hold out my hand for my pistol.
Oh, right. Okay. I was sitting there like, do you want the .38 back, Mr. Spate?
No, I'll trade you, because I've got that sheriff's or the chief's 1911. Yeah, okay. So I'll give you that, and I'll take that .38. It was closer to what I carried back on the force. A lot more familiar with it. Still can't hit anything, but at least I'm familiar.
The weight is comfortable for you. All right. Yeah, so head over to the car.
Okay.
Get in and head over to near the cannery.
Okay, so you're driving, and who's in the passenger seat?
I think I will.
Okay.
We'll let Tony lay down in the back, at least for now. And I think I'll have my pistol, like, kind of out and down in near my lap, just in case, where we got people walking around shooting.
Okay. All right, so, Rob, you get in the car there, and you pull out, and where... You guys had parked, you'd be turning the corner. In order to get to the house on Cannery Street, you're almost, well, it's literally a straight shot to the south. So you'd have to just turn around and then you'd get a straight shot all the way down there to that road. So, all right. So, Rob, let's have a luck roll.
I didn't gain any last time. Regular success.
All right. So you flip around and you start driving to the south. And so now you've passed High Street, which is the closest, you know, bigger street to where you guys were staying. And then you're a block over from the road where the guy with the shotgun had been walking, also to the south, shooting into houses. As you go across High Street and you look to the east, you can see, everybody can see, there's three crashed cars and there's a mob of people running. Right now they're running to the south as well, parallel to you, but a few blocks over. All of them seem to be armed and they seem to be agitated about something. But one of the businesses over there on High Street, well, that's the bank, is on fire. So that's what you see there as you go across High Street. And then you continue south and get to the Bedford Street intersection. We're going to need, as you cross that street, another vehicle comes at high speed. So you're going to need a driving test here.
Okay. Everybody hold on. I'll see what I can do.
Nice.
Extreme success.
Okay.
Good job.
So you're going across this intersection on High Street and another vehicle is coming crossways to you. It sees you and veers towards you, trying to hit you, but your excellent driving skills, you manage to dodge. And that driver loses control. And, you know, it's like he misses you and you can actually see him like he's looking dead at you. And he tries to turn the wheel as if in the space of 3 feet, he'd be able to turn a whole vehicle
right
at that speed and still hit you. Like, that's what he's trying to do. But he flips and goes careening into a home there. And you continue on your way to the south. Oscar, let's get a spot hidden from you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll spin 4. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rob, as you're continuing to travel to the south, the next major intersection you're going to come to is Main Street. Yeah, so that's the next major intersection you're going to come to. And you see that there is a person camped over there on the other side of Main Street. And he's got a rifle and he's, you know, resting it on a couple of trash bins. And he's just looking around. But you see that he sees you guys coming and he's taking aim at you. Rob, you don't see that.
Evasive action.
But yeah. But Oscar, you see that. You see that.
Yeah, so I'll kind of shout out, Main Street?
Yeah.
Guy on Main Street with a rifle.
Do I have any option to... I mean, I know I'm not going to, like, really dodge bullets very well, but I'm thinking, I don't know, change the angle that I'm traveling, or... Because you just said it's pretty much a straight shot. So we're stuck.
Yeah, that's the way you're going. It's pretty straight.
Well, then I'll just say you better get low.
Yeah.
Because we're just going to have to go through it, I think.
Okay, so yeah, when he's pointed out to you, you see the guy that he's talking about, so you can do a driving test.
Okay.
This is where my head gets vaporized. Oh, nice.
Hard success.
Okay. So you're going at a pretty decent clip and you see that guy over there after he's pointed out to you. And so you just, you know, you do a driving maneuver. You basically, what you do is, you know, with an proper application of the brakes and the gas pedal, you manage to get shifted over to the other side of the road pretty quick. Right. And you can see the sparks from his rifle as he fires, but nobody gets hit because of your driving skill there.
Should ram him.
I thought about it. If there's an opportunity to do it, like in the course of travel, if the way I moved puts me in a pretty good line, then I'll keep without hopping a curb, because I know... These cars aren't really, like, they don't really survive too well doing that sort of stuff.
You know? No, I mean, where he's set, you wouldn't be able to hit him without hopping a curb.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll avoid it then. I'll just keep shouting to stay low until we're clear, you know. I got to drive the car, so there's really nothing I can do. I'll scrunch a little bit, but either I get shot or I don't.
Yeah, I think this might change
my game plan with the vehicles, and I might start putting like quarter inch plate inside the doors.
Okay. All right. So yeah, you rocket past that guy, and for his part, he's already like looking somewhere else.
Right.
It's like just an, you know, just an offhand. Oh, I'll shoot at the, okay, I'll shoot at something else.
Anyways. Yeah. It's almost like that's a compulsion.
Yeah.
The way all these guys we've seen have been behaving.
Yeah. So you rocket past him or across Main Street, and then you've got a couple of blocks before Mill Street, but now we'll need a hard driving test from you.
Is that hard?
Yeah.
24. We'll spend 24 luck to make it a hard success.
Okay. What happens is with just the absolute perfect timing as you're going towards Mill Street there, a large mob of people darts out in front of you from the next road. And there's at least 20 of them, you think, all of them armed and screaming. And they're moving towards the west. And you know, because of your luck, you manage to not hit them.
Okay.
You come screeching to a stop.
Oh, this is accidentally about avoiding manslaughter? Never mind. Let me take that.
Well, that's up to you. Yeah, if you'd like to.
No, I will. I think it would be instinctual not to want to hit people. So that's what I'm trying not to do anyways. And also I'm seeing the car as kind of our lifeline and like that you risk some damage. So I don't really want to do that, you know?
Yeah. Also like, man, like a car can take down a good chunk of a mob, but there's always a chance that you stop at some point. In which case you got an angry mob surrounding you.
Right. I was thinking about how you might've been doing that with cars in the field. In World War One, putting armor on them because a lot of armored vehicles were retrofitted during that war. You might have some know-how if you have the skill for it anyway, or I could help you. You just tell me what they did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got all that mechanic knowledge.
Well, some anyway.
Yeah, so you come screeching to a stop and you sort of spin, so you're broadside to them now and you're facing to the west instead of the south, but there you stop. And so they've come running across the street. And, you know, now you can see there's probably about 20, and they're all armed with various implements, mostly like bats and, you know, sticks and pipes, right? And every one of them is enraged. Like, you can see it on their face. It's screwed up with the greatest rage you can imagine. And, you know, one of them is shouting, and he's, you know, one of them actually has a torch. Like a real torch, not an electric one. He's got like some burning brand he's holding up. And he says, if the eye can't see us, we'll make the eye see us. And, but then, you know, you all see their heads swivel and light upon you three. And there's like a moment, just a brief moment where they're surprised to see you there. But then the rage takes back over their face and they start rushing towards
you. All right.
You.
Yeah. Let's pop three off into the crowd.
Okay.
Yeah. Any bonus or penalties?
Tony, you'd get to act first if you want to do something.
Bleed.
I know there is a penalty for like fast moving targets, that sort of thing. Mm. I don't know if us going fast would make that a deal or not.
I'm also going to have to be bandit shooting, being in a car and everything. So just bop, bop, bop.
I'll just already that 38 in case need to use it.
Okay, and then
that's all I'll do.
That's
though.
A good idea. Mr. Herman warns him off, and Mr. Spates shoots him if they get on.
Warns them off.
Right. Well, killing a few of them is a good.
I'm going to make a mental note that I need to add a healthy supply of dynamite to my adventuring kit as well.
The rookie investigators doesn't last long.
The rookie adventuring party. It's like lamp oil.
Yeah,
and all this other stuff. You don't need rations. No, you need rope and explosives.
Right.
Okay, Rob, you.
All right.
Oscar.
So yeah, sorry.
You wanted to fire some rounds?
Yeah, I'm just going to fire three quick rounds off into that crowd, maybe get them to hesitate. And if I drop a couple, yeah.
Nice.
I think there's penalties, so like that would technically be the right.
Or, yeah, so you're basically doing suppressing fire.
Okay, so that would have been the 45 would have been the first one. One penalty or two? Or is it, how does suppressing fire work? Is it just the one or?
Off the top of my head, it's like you do it and then they have the option to dodge or not. And if they don't dodge, if they don't get low, then you check for hit and damage and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah. Yeah. So do you did three shots?
Yeah.
All right, so I see two of them.
No, like I was figuring that was probably penalty. You want me to just roll three without penalty?
Yeah.
Okay. So third one.
All right. Yeah. So you start popping off rounds at this group of people. They are not going to choose. They're not in the state of mind to choose to like dive for cover. So you do hit three of them.
You want damage?
Yeah. Roll damage. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So basically, you know, they start rushing towards your car and you pop three rounds and three people drop dead and the rest of them seem enraged even further as they charge forward. But Rob, that brings us to you.
So yeah, I'm going to keep. Like, we didn't get stopped, did we? Did I miss?
You came to a stop.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sideways.
Like, facing, yeah, sideways.
And I don't have a route out of here that keeps us in the same direction without going over people?
Right.
Just you came to a stop sideways. The car's still going, and we're all still going.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much they're taking up the whole street. So if you wanted to keep going south, you'd have to run them over. But, so yeah. Now, from where you are, you've got forward to the west, or backward to the east, or turning around and going back north, because you're like in the middle of a street.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll have to try going through them at this point, because at least we got a car between us and them now. And if Mr. Herman keeps being all killer no filler like he was just then, like, we should get through them.
Like, you could, like, you know this part of town, and so, you know, essentially you could go a block the way you're facing and then come back around.
Do a loop. Get, yeah. Okay. Well, then I'll try that. I'll try to go around. I wasn't sure about that. So yeah, I'll, you know, make the necessary turn. And then when I have an opening, gun it out of there.
Okay.
That's another reason to keep the car semi pristine is that this thing has to make it out of this town right. And not be suspicious as hell.
So you take off and you leave them behind, and at the next intersection, you turn back to the south and you do your loop and you get back to Mill Street. And then, you know, on Mill Street, you go a block back and then you'll reach that Cannery Road and you turn right there. And now you've got, you know, a few blocks of homes before you reach the end of that road where the squatter house is. As you make that turn onto Cannery Road and you're heading to the south, everybody sees a massive explosion light up the night sky from the cannery.
Hmm.
So you're not sure what blew up out there, but all of it did, because it's like just massive pillar of flame up into the sky. And then as you're driving, all the lights, like all the homes on either side of the road now, the lights are on, and you can see there's two groups of people having a gunfight across the road with each other that you've got to drive through. Right?
Okay.
Like up ahead, then they're shooting at each other, you know, who or what, but you know, they've like taken cover in their windows and you can see, you know, the sparks of rifle fire.
I'm probably past the point of being able to find another loop.
Well,
or does it look like we're close enough at this point now that we might be able to
hoof it,
pull off somewhere and hoof it?
Well, you could hoof it, but there is a lot more houses and a lot more people between you and that house.
Yeah.
You're at the last point at which you could do another loop and get back onto that road. After that, there's no turnoffs.
Well, yeah, I'll try that. I'll try to avoid it one more, like this one more time.
Loops are taking extra time, though.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But I liked your thought of keeping the car in the best condition because we still now have to get out of town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So you take a turn towards the west. Now, this road you haven't been on before, and it's longer. It's like two blocks long instead of one before you come to, you know, the next place to turn. And there's houses on either side of it as well. And this is like right next to the cannery, and it's a pretty poor section of town. So like the houses are not well made and they're not well maintained, and neither are the yards and neither is the road and neither is the
got like junk
sidewalk
cars in them.
And yeah, you've got that. And you've got, you know, stray animals running around trying to figure out where safety might be, but there's people darting across the road all the time. So you'll need a driving test to avoid hitting them.
Regular success.
Okay. So yeah, you're swerving in and out of the, you know, to avoid hitting people that are crossing the road. you keep going down towards the end of it where you'll make a turn to the south again and then another block and then back towards the east. And it's right there at that turn at the very end of this road where you're driving towards it and your headlights illuminate a man who he's like in his yard at the end of that street. And he's dressed in full military dress
wearing
uniform.
Wearing a World War One uniform.
Yeah, and he's got a helmet and he's got a rifle.
Yeah.
And he's taking aim and firing something up towards the north, right? And he's in his yard. But so you get to the end of that street and then you're going to turn left. So far, he doesn't seem to have focused on you, but there is a man with a rifle there and he might. So it's up to you what you want to do.
Yeah, I'll say like, we're going to need to take care of that guy because when he notices us, he's going to be on us, I think, at least from recognizing the right. You think you can hit him on the way by or should I hit him with the car?
I'm not even sure if he could have just been a prepper and woke up and saw that the end was coming.
That's true. You want to find out?
That was out of character.
All right. Then you and Tony make a spot hidden.
Me or Robbie?
You.
All right.
Tony and Oscar.
No.
Okay. Oh, wait, that was a sleight of hand, but yeah, it was still a no.
Okay.
Spend five luck. Is that what it would be?
Yeah. I'm starting to get towards like John levels of luck, though. Mm. Yeah, I'll spend five.
All right. So, what you see as you are traveling towards this man is that there are two people that are coming from the corner of the house that's behind him. Directly for him. He doesn't see them. And they both have like machetes. And he's facing off towards the north, taking aim and firing with his rifle.
Still, like,
maybe
it's one of those.
Shadow warning.
It's one of those where, like, we've seen that they have been picking sides.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not sure if the other side is like people that never went and saw the eye, so they're sane and just defending themselves, or.
Well, the guys, well, I guess I don't see any of this, so.
Yeah.
You gotta work it out on your own. Busy driving.
All right. So anyway,
yeah,
Rob, you're driving. That's a T intersection there. So how do you want to navigate it? Do you want to do a screech and slide or do you want to just drive normal?
You always break the eggs the last mile home there. So,
So you're saying I should put my seatbelt on.
Well, I've just passed a lot of drive rules so far, so it's making me nervous to do another one.
Yeah, but you roll enough, it's always going to be a fumble at some point.
I think I'm tired and amped up, so I think I probably would take it too fast to call it a safe turn. So I guess I'll go for that drive rule one more time.
Okay.
I will spend the two luck.
I also forget that I could push like 75 or something. You can push on easy enough.
That's true.
But like, what's the downside of failing to spot something, right? Like I had my head out the window and I get hereditaried or something.
Could be.
Usually.
What is that?
Okay. So yeah, Rob's like, hang on. And he, you know, does the screeching power slide there at the end of the road. And that puts you like, you know, by the time he gets going south again, Oscar, you're like, you could touch that dude with the rifle.
You know what? I'll shout out the window. Machetes to your six or wherever they were, right?
Yeah. All right. So he's like, and he turns and he sees those guys. And then Rob, you continue going, but you can hear the first shot take one of them down. And then the second guy, he actually takes down with the bayonet.
Mm.
Nice.
What was it? I was army.
Mm-hmm.
So was that Ura?
I don't know what it was back then.
Yeah.
It's probably like G. Willikers.
G. Willikers.
Jumping Jehoshaphat. All right. So then you turn down this street, Rob, and like you're coming to the corner there where you would turn back to the east. And all of the homes, like the homes on each corner are engulfed in flames. At this point here, you can see there's like some bodies laying out in the yards. It's still not light enough to see what happened to him, but there are three little kids stumbling around out in the yard there too. They're you guess no more than four. You know, they're naked because they were asleep and they're just like stumbling around. Like the house is burning. They're all crying.
Well, that makes sense. Of course, there'd be kids mixed up in this that hadn't entered my mind until just now, but.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what you see as you're coming towards that corner, that intersection. And then Tony, from the back seat, you see on the road closest to you, there's like a kid out there too, probably about, you know, 5 years old. And as you're watching, like a dog comes out and snatches it by the leg and starts dragging it away. Oscar, you see the same thing that Rob sees because you're looking forward, but Tony sees that off to the side. What do you do?
I'm not really a crack shot, but like Oscar is, so I don't trust in trying to take the dog out. Plus, I don't think it would do very much good. Unfortunately, in these situations, you know, I know that I'm not going to be able to save everybody.
Okay, Rob?
Yeah, I'll be hitting the dash. You know, this is asking for the cup to be, you know, passed from my lips moment for Rob, right? He's like, what is this? You got to be kidding me. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of pleading with God in his own city way. I guess I'll just keep going. You know, I'm just trying to keep Rosemary's face fixed in my mind. And
you're going to get there. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'll definitely be a bit emotional about it.
Okay. All right. So then what about you, Oscar?
It's really a bad situation to be in, but it happens when stuff like this breaks out. Just got to hope that someone else comes along and cleans up this mess. But unfortunately, that can't be me.
Okay. So you tear along that street, Rob, and you see, you know, sights of horror on either side of that road as well in this poor section of town. Now you're only, I mean, on this road, there's nothing but empty land between you and the cannery, which is now, you know, it's an inferno out there. And you get to the end of that road and one more turn to the south for a few feet, and then you're at the entrance to the driveway of the squat house there.
Home stretch.
So from there, you know, Cannery Road still runs quite a ways to the south. And along that road, lit up by the blaze, you can see a large mob of people walking to the north in the street. They all are armed with one thing or another, but also quite a few of them are carrying like jerry cans, you know.
Right.
Dousing stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, you get to the driveway and you see them, and then you can tell they also have seen you.
Right.
And
they're blocking the driveway?
No, they're
beyond it.
They're, you know, I'd say about 100 yards to the south in the street.
Yeah. Well, 100 yards is not a lot of time.
Ooh.
Well, I think if somebody else doesn't have the idea, I don't know. I think Rob might slow down for a moment. And Mr. Herman, I think you're going to have to take the wheel here. If I drive up there, we're going to lead that whole mob there. I might lead him there anyways, because I'm just an oaf when it comes to walking around in the woods. But I think what I'm going to try to do is circle around and get him out of that house myself. And I don't know. You guys just carry on. I'm not saying this is a smart thing to do, but this is what I'm going to be doing.
I like your spirit, Robbie.
Hang on, I can give you a little map here. Hang on a second.
I like your spirit, Robbie. Go get that girl and her kid. I'll get out of the car.
Okay, one moment here.
I'll make sure I got my rifle. Unfortunately, I left my shotgun with the woman.
As you're pulling into the driveway of this house, there's that mob approaching from the south there. Now you've got a map to get a better idea of what's going on. So what would you like to do from there?
Okay, so I know I started with, I'm going to hop out here. You take the wheel.
Yeah.
But you're going to do what now?
I've already hopped out. I'm leaning back through the window. And I'm like,
so you're going to hold them here, basically?
That, or I'm thinking maybe try to lead them northwest. Maybe you catch up to me on one of those roads.
Okay, so
or northeast, sorry.
I was just trying to figure if I was getting the indication that you want me to keep the car, go grab them, and then pick you up, right? Is that the idea then?
Yeah, you keep the car, go pick them up.
Okay.
I'll head northeast, hopefully trying to lure them away.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the plan.
Yep. If you don't see me, Godspeed, Robbie. I'll draw my gun and wait for the car to peel off on down the driveway.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, Rob, you take off down the driveway and you get to the house there.
Yeah, so I'll hop out, leave it running, make sure the brake is engaged, and start shouting pineapple as I go up to the to the door, because okay. That's the word we prearranged so she wouldn't shoot us. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and so then Oscar, that mob, as soon as the Rob takes off, they're still a pretty good distance away, but you can see them pointing and you hear one shout, "They're not like us!" Then they break into a run towards you.
About how long or how far? You said
they're 100 about 100 yards away.
All right. Yeah, I'll unsling my rifle from my shoulder and I'll see if I can get a couple shots off at them.
Okay.
I'm not as good with this one. Oh, miss.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, you take a shot. It's a large group. It doesn't look like you hit anybody.
Mm.
Rob. And then, Tony, you're with Rob?
Yeah, yeah, Steve in the car.
Okay. So, Rob, you're shouting pineapple and you get to the house and...
Yeah.
Marion opens the door when she heard you shouting, and she's got the shotgun, and then she's got Rosemary hugging on her. She's like, "What's going on?
We got to go. The whole town's gone crazy. Get in the car."
Absolutely not our fault.
We might have had something to do with it.
Sure.
We can't be sure.
Okay.
I'll hop into the front seat. This is that way they can pile into the back.
Okay.
And stay down.
All right. Yeah, you hustle them into the car, and they don't give you any argument, and they run out there. And then Oscar, now they're getting a little bit closer, but you can take another shot if you want.
Yeah, I'll take another shot, and then I'll try to hopefully start luring them off to the northeast, right? Or maybe up, like off, where is it? There, maybe off into that direction, whatever is in there. Is it just a field or is it just houses?
It's a field.
Yeah. Start luring them away then. 53. That's a hit.
Okay. So go ahead and roll damage.
Lowest I could get almost.
Okay. All right. So you take another shot and you do see someone stumble and fall. The rest of them, with renewed hatred, they come charging after you. So you're taking off across, you know, northeast across this field then. We'll need...
Are the twins in the tall grass of the field? Hmm? I'm just going to hear the shuffle of grass, and then my guts are going to be spilling out at my feet.
Yeah.
They'll somehow keep you alive while you're... Well, I guess that's what a vivisection is, but you pin you up to a board.
All right, so let's have a luck roll from you.
Oh, and I just spent so much. 80.
Okay. Then I'll need a... dexterity from you.
Also a low run. Oh, no.
Good roll,
16.
Though.
Under 40.
All right, so you're running across this field, but it's still not totally light, so it's hard to see, and the grass is tall anyway, and there's still snow and ice, and so you know, as you're running, you get into this depression, and you threaten to lose your footing, but you manage to keep yourself upright and moving. And then, Rob, you got everybody into the car now. And ready to go.
Okay. Well, I'll try to get out of here. First, I'll see if I can make it back to the road or if they're crowding the driveway, then I might have to go off-road here.
No, they're cutting across the field, chasing after him.
Oh, okay. Oh, what are we going to do about Mr. Herman?
Uh-oh.
Gotta save everybody. That's how you get two people killed on accident.
Oh, I thought you were doing the, time to leave them.
No, I was just figuring out how it would handle going, just driving on that field.
I don't know that you can go onto the field, but if this yellow circle is us, then, and I'm thinking that the field is to our left or to the right.
Field's out this way. I'm heading northeast. So,
yeah, so we can go up and take that first right, see if we can pick him there, and if not, go over, two streets and then another right, and then try to pick him up on that side out to Dutton.
Okay. Yeah, so that's
I'll also ask Marianne for that shotgun. It's just in case I need to...
Don't worry.
She says, "I'll give you one end of it." Points it at your head.
Pulls the trigger.
I'll trade her this 38.
She says, "You've all played right into my hand."
That would be a good horror movie.
She is the eye.
That's one of the reasons I was thinking that we shouldn't pick up the kids, is we'd let them in the back or something like that, and then we'd look back there sometime later and they would have like torn Tony apart or something.
Yeah, then, so that's the plan, Brandon, is to head on that road to that first intersection, you know, hang a right, head east, to come back down, to come to the point where his progression would take him and try to meet him there.
Probably here, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that ping.
Yeah, you've all got it. Look in the toolbar, there's a ping mode there. Toolbar of the map.
Oh, yeah, I see a ping mode. Did they add that since we played last?
They added it before the last game we played, but I didn't tell anybody.
Now we will abuse it so it's useless.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Rob, you go turn down that street now. It's gotten a lot brighter now, enough that people can generally see
right as
they're out and about. And all these homes are still burning, so there's this thick smoke everywhere that's choking everybody, but you go driving down the street, and where you'd want to take that right-hand turn up there at that first road, you can see that on the northern sidewalk out in front of that row of houses, there's like a production taking place. And so you've got a row, and just by your rough count, there's probably 30 people, and they're all on their knees in the grass, and then there's like a firing squad set up to shoot them. Somebody's giving a speech, but you're not sure, you can't hear what they're saying. But
I forgot to get out of the car, take off my shirt, and cut my chest, as you should when making a stand.
That's true.
Sorry, Brandon.
Well, so you're not going to be as successful.
I know.
He's not going to die screaming.
As I should. Not
in a handy way where we hear it in a moment of silence. Yeah. And we're like, well, we don't got to worry about saving him now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm also envisioning you guys driving up just in time to see me get ripped apart by the mob. But it's okay, because I'll save one bullet and it's not for me.
You'll just inexplicably shoot Tony for some reason.
Yeah.
Or me.
It should be you, but
I'm not dying alone.
Oh, is that the car?
Yeah, so that's the road you're on.
Yeah. Heading east.
Yeah.
By northeast.
So anyway, so that's what you see there. And then Oscar, they're still giving chase.
Okay.
It does seem like some of them might be faster than you.
Do I?
Because they're gaining.
Do I think I still got enough time to get a shot off and still keep going, or not getting caught, or?
You might.
All right. Well, it's time to take care of some of the ones that are out in front.
Okay.
At least give it a try. So I'll pop off around their direction. 38.
Okay. See some damage.
Ooh.
All right. So you see one fall.
And then I'll keep running.
All right. Give me a luck roll.
Oh, no. 7.
Okay. Nice.
All right, and then Rob.
All right, so we'll head down this road to the next intersection and then go down that.
Marion says, we've got to stop them. They're going to kill them. We can't just let them kill them. And then Rosemary's like, Mommy, are they all going to die? If only there was a hero to stop them. But no, I mean, Rosemary's like, you know, her face is buried in her mom, but Marion's like, we can't just let them kill all those people.
Q holding out for a hero.
Mrs. Ellis, we've seen as bad already, and I don't know how to stop that and get you out alive, so you just need to keep your daughter's face in your mind and keep your eyes averted.
Okay. All right, so you go driving along the road.
That's how Rob thought he sounded, but what he actually sounded like. Oh, no, I was picturing like the, just like yelling red face.
All right. Shut up.
Do you want to die?
And as you're driving along that road in perfect procession, as you be, you know, come parallel to each person with the rifle, they start shooting, and so it makes like a sound of,
yeah, almost a melodic death flop procession.
And so then you make it to the end of that road there.
Okay. Yes, the time for what's the guilt will be later. All right. Yeah. So depending on how it looks out there, I'll step out if I need to get a look and see if I can see Mr. Herman approaching at all are still out in the field.
Yeah, so as you get there to that corner and you look down to the south.
I do want to make sure that we're angled to not have to do our turn before I step out to see if I can see him. So we can head back towards that intersection as soon as he gets in the car and then head off to Dutton.
You mean like reverse it down the road?
No, I'll have to do a three-point turn or something when we get down there, but to make sure that we don't have that ahead of us by the time he gets to the car, if he does.
Yeah, so as you look down that road, you see...
people fighting.
There's another mob of people here.
Should have taken that other 45, because my mitts ain't good enough.
And they're down at the end of this road, and it does look like a melee. Like they're fighting, there's, you know, people fighting each other, but there is a large mob of people there.
Well, we're going to have to stay here at the corner then, I think, and hope that he can make us out. What do you think, Mr. Spates?
I almost, as long as they don't start coming towards us, if they do, maybe we head off towards that, the road to Dutton, see if he can make it across there. Is it at least there? Maybe we could signal him down with the flashlight or something.
Yeah. Well, I think if it comes to that, I'll just maybe lay on the horn a little ways. Maybe he'll make sight of some crazy guy on the horn before we get to Dutton and go quiet when I turn off. Wish we'd had the time to think of this ahead of time, but here we are.
So that's what you see when you look down. You see that, and then that's what Rob sees. Tony, roll your spot hidden for me.
Cannot see.
Okay, and then let me do...
Picture Tony's just like that one kid in Akira after they get out of the principal's office. He's just kind of puking blood every so often.
So Mirian was looking back behind, and she says, they're turning their guns on us now. And then in your rear view, you can see that, you know, they're all like, they're doing this odd march, you know, like toy soldiers, and they're getting lined up in the road, like across the road, point their guns towards you.
Well, I'll lay on the gas then and floor it for... That's my plan.
Yeah. You plan and the keeper laughs.
Yes.
So back to Oscar. So now you had shot one of the ones that was out ahead of the pack. There's still a couple more that are getting closer to you, but you can see some lights up ahead. So you know you're almost to the southern tip of that road.
All right. How far away are the ones that are out in front? Like how close are they to me?
So now they're about 30 yards away from you.
That's still pretty good. If I just focus on running, these guys would still be catching up. I know that. But would I, like, how much extra distance would I make?
If you just focus on running, you'd, you know, assuming everything stayed the same and you didn't trip and fall, it would probably take them like 2 minutes to finally catch up to you.
Because if they're getting out in front of the pack, I want the pack to be as far away from me as possible when they catch up to me, is what I'm thinking here.
Yeah, well, they're definitely outpacing the pack.
That's all right. So I'll sling my rifle, draw my pistol, and just focus on running from there, just trying to full sprint.
All right. Okay, so is that a skill?
What? I think there's an athletics, isn't there?
A run?
I'm not seeing one.
No, in the chase, they do a constitution check because it's more about like the duration that you can maintain a pace, right? Your move speed, because you don't do, they don't simulate round by round.
Yeah.
Like so this person has move, whatever.
You want con check or?
Yeah, hang on. I think I.
Because what is your move rate?
8.
So in a round, if all you do is move, you can move times 5. That in yards, so 40 yards would be what you move in around.
Yeah. All right. That's perfect then. So then you make it. So essentially what happens to you then, so let me get a listen from you, a hard listen.
I think listen's one of my low ones. Ever since the war, it ain't been so good. 42 under 55. I'll take it. But it's not a hard listen.
15 for a hard.
I think I'm not even here. I think I'm in France.
So essentially what happens then is you decide you're going to focus on running. You sling your rifle over your back and you just go. And, you know, this is not like a flat desert field. There's lots of hills. And so essentially what happens is you come over a hill right to the end of that road.
In the melee.
And then 20 yards or 10 yards away is a large group of people fighting each other, screaming and cussing. You know, really what it looks like from your close vantage point, it looks like that scene from Gangs of New York. It's like some people grabbed some melee weapons and decided to have a fun morning.
Was there snow? Are they like staying in the snow?
Red? It's nice. Still snow in all the yards and stuff. And yeah, there's blood everywhere and dead bodies everywhere. And that's, you know, you come over the hill and there they are. I mean, right now, it doesn't seem like any of them noticed you, but that's where you are.
All right.
So you're over this hill now. The people chasing you are out of sight.
Okay.
So
my plan, because I'm guessing my turn's done, but this is like my plan going forward if everything goes, is I'm going to try to hide from this new mob and hopefully lead the other mob into it.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see how it works.
Okay, Rob, they're pointing our guns at us now, Amirian said, and you can see that they're lining up to point your direction.
Yeah. Well, I was going to try to run away. But I'm going to, for this.
Rob and Tony, do a spot hidden, an extreme spot hidden.
I like the idea that you're going to take off and then stop.
Oh,
and
I got
I'm,
it.
I'm almost going to catch up and then you're going to take off again.
Rob, you see past that mob, you see Oscar crest a snow covered hill and come down.
Oh, nice.
You spot him over there.
What was the distinguishing feature from the distance like that?
Well, just like he's on a hill, so he's a little elevated from the mob. But
yeah.
And you spot him coming over that.
He's right there, Mr. Spates. You see him? Right over the hill. Right on the other side of the damn mob.
Down the other direction. I don't see him.
No. So, Tony, you don't see him because you happen to be looking towards the east. What you see walking right down the middle of the street is two very pretty twin girls dressed nicely, their hairs in braids, holding hands, walking down the street right towards you guys. That's what you see.
That's a trap.
All right. So, Rob, what did you want to do?
Well, seeing him will get me excited. So I guess I'll turn towards that mob. I mean, since it's day now, I guess I won't have to have my headlights on. So I'll just roll down that street, just using psychic will. I'm sending it out into the universe. All right.
Car's here.
Right.
Okay, so you and Tony do a listen.
Hoping he sees me the same way. Listen, where you at?
All right, so you turn down that road.
Hard success.
And then, Rob, you know, you hear like those, like you hadn't seen them, but you hear those two little girls, one of them shouts, "Hey, wait, we found out how to turn our dad's bones to jelly."
You think this is like a red herring where they just want us to be deeply suspicious of these chicks, but they're not involved. So when they need help, we're like, just gun them down. Because now that's my fear. Well, they're just weird.
Based off not... what they just said, why are you turning your dad's bones to jelly? Think about it, Rob. Come on.
that's what you hear as you turn down that street. And then for all of you, the sun finally gets up over the horizon. And true dawn appears. So you are watching this whole melee and you're heading towards it. And you know that Oscar's on the other side there. And Oscar, you know, they got a mob chasing you. You want to lead that mob into this mob. And so you're looking around for a way to get around the outskirts of this. But at sun, you know, as it finally gets up completely over the horizon and sheds its rays over the town of Stowell, right in front of your eyes, people start exploding into bright red gore. There's not a sound like a boom, but there's a sound of ripping and tearing and popping as a large percentage of the people in this mob, not all of them, but a large percentage, just start popping, spraying blood and gore and guts everywhere. And
sand chips
among the group of those who exploded are those two twin girls that were now off to the left of your car.
So yes, when I figured out how to turn my dad's bones into jelly.
Sanity check from each of you, please.
Do you roll the current
Is that how that works on?
Yeah. Oh, failure.
I've seen worse.
Not a lie.
Back when I was a kid, I knew a guy who exploded it's like this. Up,
you see where your hit points are next to that insanity? It's up near the top of the main page.
Yeah.
So would this, could this be considered viewing a corpse now since they're dead?
No, this is worse than viewing a corpse.
I'm afraid not. This is a little different.
Don't worry. I've seen some stuff. Hard success.
This is where I fall apart.
It's just a little too much.
I'm like, okay, what the heck?
That ain't normal. No matter how you slice it.
Okay. All right. So, so what do we got? So Oscar with an extreme success, Rob with a fail, and Tony with a hard success. So let's discuss what happens to Rob here.
I can lose 8 in a day before I'm indefinitely insane. 5 and 1 go for temporary.
Yes. So, Rob, roll 1d6, please.
3.
Okay. 3 points of sanity. So you swerve the steering wheel dangerously to one side and pop up on the curb and crash into a front porch. Not enough to damage anything. And not something that you couldn't have stopped if you were, I mean, you're basically at idle speed.
Right.
But you just like, and so you're, you know, sitting in the driver's seat there, you know, staring at this. I mean, you didn't even really do that much damage to the porch.
Right.
It just brought you to a stop, but you're staring at the porch of this house there. And then what? Wasn't there something that happens to you?
If I fail a sanity roll, then I take an involuntary action, which you kind of maybe just described. If I fail, if I take 5 or more in one hit, then I might go temporarily insane.
Okay.
If I lose 1/5 of my sanity in the course of a game day, which is usually defined between moments of safety, not a literal day, but I don't think we've done any sanity checks prior to this one.
Nope, that's it. Okay. Yeah. All right, so there you are, you know, sitting there staring at this house, which mercifully is staring away from the popping people, right? But now Tony and Oscar, you're watching all this, you know, it's not causing any problems with your sanity, but by the time it's done in this area, there's like 4 people left of that melee.
How many of the mob that was chasing me?
Well, so you can go back and look over the hill.
Okay.
They're all gone. Oh. They're all popped.
Or is the melee still fighting? Or
no, there's nobody. There's just 4 people standing around. And they're now, for their part, Mirian's part, I mean, they didn't fare as well as even Rob. So they're just like, they've got shell shock, essentially, which, you know, is an understood phenomenon. Now they're just staring blankly.
Right. I'll continue northeast up that road at a better pace if I don't see the car, figuring I'm going to come out near that.
Well, you can definitely see the car now.
Okay.
You watched it like slowly crash into the, and you can see Rob there, and he's like got his hands on the wheel, and he's just like, he's not shaking or nothing. It's like he's just relaxing, but he's just staring straight at that house there, you know.
Times of stress, you got to take a moment for yourself.
I'll just walk up over to it. I'll kind of keep an eye on the 4 that remain of that one mob. If they twitch, if they twitch, I'll gun them down is a little bit extreme, but you know what I mean. If they make any aggressive movements towards me, I'll just gun them down. But
yeah,
if they just want to stand there and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make no movement towards you. They don't seem to even notice you walk by. They're just staring around in total disbelief. So yeah, you can get up to the car. So yeah, I mean, that's what, at least in your area, that's what happened. You know, also you notice after a few minutes that like the sounds of gunfire stopped across town. But you can still see plenty of smoke in the sky from burning homes and buildings, but the gunfire seems to have stopped.
So how's Rob looking when I get up to that car?
Yeah, if I shake it off, I'll say something.
Yeah. I mean, he looks...
That was something. You ready to go, Mr. Herman? I think I'd like to get out of stall and not think about it again for a long, long time.
Why don't you hop in the back? I'll take over from here.
Yeah, maybe that'd be for the best. I'll see if I can offer any comfort to you.
I can take Miss over Ellis, driving if needed.
But it might be like the blind leading the blind.
I got a 50. What you got?
I'm 60% positive I can drive better than you.
Yeah, but you're also wounded. 60? You're up to like, was it 110 or something?
No, 60%.
Nah, you just keep in the passenger seat for now.
All right, but if the shooting starts, you can't do both.
That's what you think.
He's just going to turn the guns on everybody in the car.
Okay, so for you go sit back next to Marion, and she sort of snaps out of it, and she leans into you. And she's got a blank stare, but she has enough wherewithal to keep Rosemary from looking.
No.
So Rosemary's like, what's going on? But she just like hugs her and won't let her look.
But she'll remember the sound of the tires squelching over exploded body parts as Mr. Herman reverses around and gets back on the road, and the constant, or the occasional thump of a bigger chunk going underneath the carriage.
This ain't nothing.
He's definitely going to run over those two girls.
Yeah. Try doing it on a horse.
Machine gun fire into a line of advancing infantry looks about the same.
That reminds you of some of that. So, all right. So what would you guys like to do from here?
I'm going to try to head out of town the quickest way possible.
Okay.
I'm not going to try to speed unless someone points a gun at me or drives a car at me.
Yeah. I mean, the quickest way possible, straight east, the same road you'd take to get to Jensen's farm.
Hopefully this incident with the rising sun also took care of our Deputy Alexander problem. I'll say to Tony, Rob do his 1,000-yard stare. You either get over that or you don't.
Yeah, I guess we may find out when we get to the, if you want to stop by the Jensen place.
Oh, we do have a
couple people over there still.
Is this Jensen on this road? Jensen? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we definitely got to, because we at the very least have to free him if we're heading out for good. I don't plan on.
We'll just find a bloody room.
Yeah. Might even be able to get some extra cars for you guys if we want to split up from here.
Yeah. Well, I can't think of a better way to make our crimes completely unnoticed in this town than for half of the population to literally explode. But
So you're along that road, just like a mile outside of town, when you see a police cruiser stopped in the middle of the lane, you know, facing to the east.
I'll slow the car down. If anything happens, Tony, get on out of here, and I'll get my gun and hop out and go investigate.
So you go look in that car, and the inside is just completely covered in viscera, dripping gore and guts.
Any noticeable clothing that remains or anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's a deputy uniform, and you can see Alexander on it.
All right, answers that.
And then there's like one of those radios on the passenger seat. It's covered in gore, but that's pretty much all you see in that car.
That's something. Is it still working? That might be something, like, based on how they reacted, I might be thinking about ditching that now.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case it wants to explode too. It might have already tried to, but.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like it's taken any damage.
Then again, if you nab that one, we have a pretty functional set of two-way radios when I don't even think.
Yeah.
That was very common.
I'll shout back for Tony to pop the trunk. Or do these cars do that, or is it just
me? You got to get out and open it up.
Yeah, I'll get out and go open the trunk.
Nah, I can do that. I can do that myself. I'm already out. Yeah, I'll see if the car door's locked on the deputy's patrol vehicle.
No, it's open.
All right. Have they been supplying police with the standard issue stuff yet, other than just revolvers? Not out here?
Okay. No, he just has his revolver.
Yeah, so I'll open the trunk and take that radio.
Okay, all right.
And then hop back in the car and continue on towards Jensen's.
Okay, so at the Jensen farm, when you guys get there and you go to where you had locked up, you had two people locked up there?
Yeah, one of the Jensen boys and the chief.
Yeah, so when you look in on them, they're completely alert. And there's signs that they've been struggling to free themselves. And, you know, when they see you, the chief is like, oh, thank God, you've got to let me go. Let me out of here. I feel like I've been asleep. So do as you guys, everybody involved can do like a psychology or whatever.
All right.
Yeah, everybody that's there can do.
No.
Oh.
Yep. Hard success. Nice.
Okay, so what you can determine then from your own perspective, Oscar, or I mean Tony and Rob, did you?
No, I figured if they went in there, then I probably would stay in the car.
Bison needs a secondary hit
Right.
Tony, what you can tell is that, like, this is a very legitimate change in this person from your previous experiences. Like, there's the light in his eyes that he didn't have before, like the intelligence that he didn't have before. And he legitimately seems to be confused about what's going on.
Yeah, so I'll look towards Tony to see if he's got any say on the play. What do I think of him? Do I just figure it's take it at face value? He's being honest, or
yeah,
am I suspicious or
anything? No? Like, you can definitely still tell that there's a difference in the way he's talking.
It's just that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll look to him, see what, you know, what he thinks I should do on that. Just in case, you know, get his feedback in it.
Okay.
But I'll kind of be already reaching in my pocket for the keys, I guess.
Yeah, and I would agree with letting him go and give him a rundown of what happened. Yeah. You know, Alexander was his deputy, so make sure he's aware of what he's dealing with when he gets back to town.
What about the Jensen boy? I don't know if this affliction had him doing some of those things to the women that were caught here, but...
I would say that even under some... Yeah,
ensorceling
some spell, right? That if he remembers anything of it, as then it's going to leave him too changed, right?
As well,
he's probably best to be locked away.
As it seems to you, as you're laying out the story for this chief, it seems that it's pretty clear they don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
any of it.
All right.
Specifically, they just have a vague sense that something was wrong, that they've been mistreated somehow, or, you know, the bad things were happening. But when you lay out the story for Chief Kavanaugh, he's not even...
I think I will change it from them exploding to them just tearing each other apart.
Okay.
And trying to burn the town down, that they just went mad.
Okay.
'Cause it might be a little bit rough for someone to accept.
Yeah, right. It's like even that is sort of hard for him to believe, and he's like, wait a minute now, who are you fellas and what are you talking about? And, you know, and it takes a while to get through to him that, like, something happened in town. And he's like, yeah, I know something happened, I knew something was wrong, and I don't know what it was.
That professor put the whammy on them all, had them tearing each other apart.
He's
still out there. He got away.
Well, I'm gonna find him.
And I'd prefer it if you just forgot we were even here, preferably.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm real sorry that we had to tie you up or handcuff you up like that, but it was for your own good.
Yeah, it sounds like you boys saved my life. I'm much obliged. And as far as remembering you, well...
Never even met
I
you.
I never even saw you fellas before, so...
So his car's
And I'm going to have a hard enough time explaining to the rest of the world what the hell just happened here, so... So we're square as far as I'm concerned.
All right. His car is still out there, mm-hmm. I believe. So if you don't mind, sir, we're going to take a look through some of the keys up in that bedroom.
Mm.
See if we can find another running car.
Yeah, of course.
Get out of Dodge here.
Yeah, help yourself. I'm in no position to stop you.
And also, if you don't mind, keep an eye on that one over there.
Oh, yeah.
His whole group was up to no good.
Yeah, I know this boy. You trust me, I know him.
Okay.
It didn't take any magic juju to get him up to badness.
All right, so yeah, I'll go looking for a set of keys, hopefully find a running car.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, you're able to find there's a bunch of cars that are in pristine condition, so you basically got your pick.
All right.
Then where do you go from there? Mirian is looking at you and saying, I guess if it's over, we could go home. If we're sure it's over.
You got to ride the rails with old Robbie here. That's why we saved you.
But she does say she, you know, she might be convinced to
Yeah.
Well, go somewhere else. If someone were to try to convince her. if there was anybody who might
just lock the
give
doors.
Me a reason to go somewhere else.
Well, I think I might. What is it? What's the big town in Philadelphia, right? Pennsylvania?
That is, yeah.
I think I might head over to. I think I've had my feel of these small towns for a while. You know, they haven't been too good to me. I thought Stoll was going to be it, but it ended up being the worst one of all.
Don't know what you're talking about, Robbie. Big town or big cities are far crazier than this.
Yeah, but it's the kind of crazy I understand, you know, not great eyes in the sky and people exploding when the sun rises.
Don't worry, when the hunger takes you, you'll be back out here.
But you and...
Yeah, go ahead.
You and Rosemary are welcome to come with me if you like. I guess this is where I give her the land speech. I don't have much to offer a woman, but... What does he always say? What is it? It doesn't matter. Yeah. But you're welcome to come.
You could also give her the Highlander speech. I'm 1,000 or I'm 100 years old.
Yeah. Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod.
He's like, but I only really know how to do one thing for most of my life, and I don't know how to do anything else too good. So I don't know that we'll have any kind of life that you might want for Rosemary, but if you want to come along with me to Philadelphia, I'd be happy to have you.
Do a skill.
Well, I guess...
Intimidate, yeah.
If you don't come to Philadelphia, I don't know. I won't be there to keep my eye on you. I don't know what will happen
you
to
think
you.
Explosions
the only thing
bad?
That's going to be worse for you than not coming to me with me is coming with me.
Do you want a charm? Because I suppose what I was shooting for was that sort of...
Yeah.
I'm just a simple man. But
yeah.
I
yeah,
can give you
work.
Two pennies because that's what I got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about her. I'm not. No.
Yeah. So you do. You know, she's beautiful. For one thing, you really like her daughter, and so you know, just like talking to her, even though you could go through the things you went through and be fine in general, it still makes you all nervous just talking to her, and so you totally flub it. Like, absolutely. It's like, it's almost as bad as like...
Oh, I could do worse than this. Should I put it?
What would a push be?
Yeah, do you want to put?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay.
I'll let it be. I'll just be like,
Well, it's like one of the worst performances of your life. And you can remember like trying to explain to Catholic nuns at reform schools or homes.
Yeah.
Trying to make up a lie for why you'd done something and
yeah,
it's almost
it's like one of those.
Yeah.
Well, I'm missing probably the underlying thing when you're beating up most of the guys you're squaring off against. When you go out and you talk to somebody, you got that underneath it. Well, I'm not that guy anymore, so I don't know if that holds true. So I'm just trying to be a regular guy, but it's not working.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so. Oh,
but, you know, she just laughs and, you know.
Probably maybe just see sees right around. Through the,
yeah.
the BS. Of,
yeah, I mean,
a
that's
simple
essentially what
stuff.
Happens is yeah. she realizes that what's going on and she's not holding it against you. And so, you know, she laughs and embraces and, you know, she says her and Rosemary, nothing really keeping them here besides selling the house. If anybody ever wants to move here and buy it after what happened. But so that's what's happening with you. You're all out in the, you know, the yard of the Jensen farm having this conversation and, Oscar, you're
smoking,
you're smoking and you've set the chief, you know, you've set him straight on everything and he's working on getting that Jensen boy into his car there. And you're looking through the cars in the car yard section there. And then off to the east of there in the field where the grass is like, you know, super tall, you hear someone go psst off in that and you look over and you can see Walter Jones. He's like in the field over there. He's the guy from the Wipers Pals that sent you here. And he's like motioning you over.
I'll look around.
I mean, he's dressed like he's in the same city he met you in, but he's in the middle of this field in the middle of nowhere and he's got his hat and he's like, psst, come.
I'll look around and kind of make sure no eyes are really on me and then just kind of stroll on over inconspicuously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get over there into the grass and you're out of sight of everybody else. And he's like, good work, kid.
I wouldn't quite say that.
No, you that's good work. You found something that shouldn't be and now it's gone.
That's right. Reach
back and pull out the professor notes that I took. You know. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can do something with that, unless you want me to burn it.
No, no. You're doing the right thing. You give that to me. And he says, I have this for you. And he reaches in his coat and he pulls out a manila folder. And he's like, take a few days. When you get somewhere, you can catch your breath and fill out that report and send it along.
Will do, sir.
And then we'll be in touch. And don't lose contact with these two you've met here. They seem like very useful allies in cases like this. So make sure you don't lose contact with them.
Wasn't planning on it, sir. So you sure that this all wrapped up? At least good enough?
Should be.
All right.
Should be. Usually when everybody starts exploding, it's pretty much near the end.
That's what the lieutenant said back in the war, but sometimes it doesn't hold true.
Well, we got smarter folks who will read your report and make sure you send those any other information you found along, and they'll read through it and they'll make a determination, but it's good enough for me for now.
There's something that we recovered on top of the reports, two crystalline radios or communication devices. Should I put them in my report? I was thinking about holding on to them. Could serve valuable purpose if they still work.
Yeah, no, if they work as good as you say, you should send them in so we can take them apart, figure out what's going on.
All right, they're in the car right now.
I'll tell you what, give one to me and you keep the other.
All right.
And we'll see if they work as good as you say. It'll be a good way to keep in contact.
All right, well, I gotta get back before I'm noticed.
All right. He turns and disappears into the grass field, walking away from you. And where's Tony? What are you going to do?
I mean, I'll make my way back to, I think I was in Boston when I had gotten the deal.
You'd gotten hired to find that book, and you're supposed to take it back to Professor Frederick Thomas. So is that where you're going to head next?
Yep.
Okay.
I believe I also gave all of them information on how to like send telegrams to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Just in case.
All right. So then you'll each go your separate ways there. And that's where we'll end the session and this chapter of Call of Cthulhu.
Hell yeah.
Nice, man. That's pretty Thank fun. You. Mm-hmm. Good conclusion.
Yeah. I usually think it's a good conclusion when half the town explodes.
Yeah, no, it was pretty fun. Felt touch and go to me.
This has been a Death Watch production. Thank you for listening.